Thank you for sharing this morning. First Corinthians chapter 11, you see the communion elements at the front of the sanctuary this morning, and we are going to share in that later towards the end of this service, but I kind of want to talk to you about that today. What this ritual and the sacrament of communion really is all about. You think, well, it's kind of odd. I don't know that I've ever heard a pastor preach an entire sermon about what communion is about. And you know what? I'd never preached one either until I wrote this one. But I think sometimes we go through motions of things, and not in a bad way, but we do a lot of things in the church without really stopping to think about what they mean. And I want people to understand what the things that we do in church mean. What's the purpose? What actually happens when we come to this table? So I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that we have a place at his table. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, we find the Apostle Paul writing these words. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give you further directions." God, this is your word. I just ask you to use it for your purpose and your glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is with his 12 disciples. Have you ever wondered what that would be like? Have you ever kind of asked yourself the question and just kind of tried to have a daydream in your mind or something about what it would be like to walk with Jesus? Imagine with me for a few minutes what it must have been like to be these 12 apostles as they walked with Jesus all through the area of Judea and Galilee, and even once in a while he crossed that border into Samaria. Picture with me what it must have been like to share that most personal and intimate time with Jesus. The most intimate moments in the life of Christ. Is it possible for us to experience that kind of intimacy with him today? Is it possible for us to be in the presence of Christ, even as we live our lives now here in this world? Well, the disciples were in the physical presence of Jesus. They could see him. They could touch him. They could talk with him. They could listen to him. They could hear his voice in the physical, audible sense, just like you're hearing my voice today. They walked and talked with Jesus just like we walk and talk with our friends and neighbors and our church members, our family members. Well, the bad news is that we're not able to be physically in his presence right this minute. But the good news is that he has provided a way for us to share in his presence in a very personal and intimate way. We call it a lot of things. The Lord's Supper the Last Supper, the Holy Eucharist, the table of the Lord, the breaking of bread, depending on what denomination or background you may have come from or might be the most familiar with. But what we use to describe it most often is simply the word communion. We're having communion together. At the table of Jesus, we have intimacy. At his table, we have a common bond. We have a common fellowship. And at his table, we are in his presence. And today, right here and now, I want you to understand something. There's a place for each and every one of us at the table of the Lord. There's a place for us in his presence. There's a way for us to have intimate and personal relationship with him. There's a place at his table for you and me. But what happens when we come to that table? What's communion really all about? Well, let's look at this passage of Scripture and see the things that are involved. First of all, it's a time of commemoration. What does that mean? It's a time of remembering. It's a time of remembering. Jesus tells us right here in this passage. Paul says, in the same way, when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "Anytime you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." How many of you find it harder and harder to remember? I have a little saying lately. My forgetter works better than my rememberer. That's kind of where I'm getting to. Hate to say that, but sometimes my forgetter works better than my rememberer. But remembering Jesus, anytime we come together, what's he telling us? Anytime we come to this table, we are supposed to partake of the elements, the bread and the juice. The bread representing his body, the juice representing his blood. We're supposed to do it in remembrance of him. But what are we supposed to remember? What are those things about Jesus that he wants us to remember? Well, first of all, we need to do this. I think it's good to remember the life that Jesus lived. Remember the life that Jesus lived. His life was marked with consistency. Jesus was consistent. Jesus was one that people knew they could count on. They might not agree with him, and a lot of people didn't, but Jesus was one of those people that everybody knew. He was consistent. They could count on him. He was not going to waver from the truth. He was not going to waver from his mission. But his life was one that was also marked with compassion. At one point, Jesus outlined his life in a very simple yet complex statement. In John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus says this, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Wow. I would love nothing more than to stand before you this morning, teaching from this holy book, standing in this holy place. I'd love nothing more than to be able to tell you that during my life I've always done what pleases the Heavenly Father. But you see, I can't tell you that today because I'm human. I'm imperfect. I've messed up. I've found myself on the wrong side of righteousness more than once. Yet Jesus said, "I always do what pleases him." That's the life that Jesus lived before us that he wants us to remember, that he wants us to model. What a testimony. What an example for us. We should remember the life that Jesus lived as a life that was pleasing to his heavenly Father and a life that we should pattern our lives after today to the best of our human ability with his divine help. So we need to remember the life that he lived. We also need to remember the lessons that he taught. What were the lessons that Jesus taught? Let's think about a few of them. It's better to give than to receive. Jesus was a very giving, unselfish person. Jesus never really owned anything. If you want to look at Jesus in today's terminology, he was homeless. He didn't own a home. He didn't own anything, really, property. Really, all Jesus had were the clothes on his back and the sandals on his feet. But his father owned the cattle on 1,000 Hill. And I want us to understand that same Father is our Heavenly Father. And he wants us to know the same thing. It's better to give than to receive. Coming up on the Christmas season, if I've heard Blenda say it once, I've heard Blenda say it 20 times since the kids have been home. I need your Christmas list. I need your Christmas list. And you know what? At our point in life, it's not about what we get for Christmas anymore. It's about spending that time together and seeing their faces when we're able to try to give them whatever we can give at that time. It's better to give than receive. Another lesson he taught us is this: it's better to forgive than seek revenge. It's better to forgive than seek revenge. There's not a more forgiving person in this history of all mankind and the history of the world than Jesus Christ. A lot of times during his life, as he walked through the towns and villages, he healed the sick and he proclaimed forgiveness of their sins. But the most telling episode in the life of Christ that teaches us this lesson is that day of his crucifixion when he hung on that cross. As the very blood and life was leaving his body, he called out to his Heavenly Father and said, "Forgive these men, for they don't know what they're doing." The very people who were responsible for nailing him to that cross and mocking as they watched him die, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." It's better to love than it is to hurt and hate. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Love those people who are trying to do harm to you. It's better to love than to hurt and hate. Church family, listen to me today. There's enough hurt and hate going on in the world today without us taking part. We need to show people the love of Christ and do our very best to show them a different way than what the world around us is showing us. It's better to serve than to be served is another lesson that Jesus would tell us today. It's one he told them. I don't think his message has changed any. It's better to serve than be served. Jesus himself made the comment, "The Son of Man comes not to be served, but to serve." So we remember the life he lived. We remember the lessons that he taught us, and there are many, many more. But these are just some to get us thinking during this time of communion and getting ready to gather around his table. We need to remember the sacrifice he gave. You see, his sacrifice was not what he had. We already talked about that. He didn't have much, not in the earthly sense. His sacrifice was who he was. He did not sacrifice something. He sacrificed everything. His sacrifice was his body. His sacrifice was his blood. The sacrifice he gave was his very life. And when we come to our place at his table, we need to remember the sacrifice that he made for us. This little tasteless wafer that you're going to get in a little while. Means nothing on its own. But in the context of what we're doing today, it represents the very sacrifice of the body of Christ. The grape juice that you're going to partake of in a few minutes means nothing on its own. It's the same stuff you buy at the store and drink at home. But in this context and in this place, it represents the very blood of Jesus that was sacrificed for you and me. And when we come to that table, we need to remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Second thing I want us to understand about communion is it's a time of celebration. We remember his life, we remember his teaching, we remember his sacrifices, but what are we supposed to celebrate? Why is this a time of celebration? Well, because we can celebrate the fact that Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus didn't stay in that grave. He rose again. We celebrate his resurrection. The good news is that the cross and the tomb are not the end of the story, because on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. We celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Lord and Savior, and that means that we not only celebrate his resurrection, but we also celebrate our redemption. What's redemption mean? Pastor, that's a big word. If you redeem something, it means I pay a price for it. It means I buy it back, basically. Redemption means, to redeem something means I pay whatever price that item is worth. And we celebrate through communion our redemption. If Jesus were still dead, we would still be lost. Our redemption, our forgiveness of sin, our new life in Christ is possible only because of the risen and living Christ. The songwriter said, he lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. We need to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. And one of the ways we celebrate is by coming to his table. It's a time of presentation. By taking part in communion and coming to his table, we're presenting ourselves as living sacrifices. Remember, if you were here during the Bible, I thought Pastor Donnerberg said it in such an incredible way. Present yourselves. He said, let's say that a different way. Make a present of yourself to God. Make a present of yourself to God. And when we come to the communion table, that's exactly what we're doing. We're presenting ourselves as sacrifices. We're giving ourselves as a gift. See, Jesus sacrificed by giving his life for us. We sacrifice by living our lives for him. The invitation to his table is a call to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, we find in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul tells us to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And as we read earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 tells us that when we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. See, when we come to his table, we're not only accepting his sacrifice for us, we're presenting our sacrifice to him, making ourselves a present to our Heavenly Father. Communion is a time of participation. It's our chance to actually participate in the life of Christ. The elements we use during communion are symbolic. The bread is symbolic of his body, the juice symbolic of his blood, but it should still be very real. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 says this, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 The Apostle Paul says this, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. When we come to this table, we are participating in his life. We're participating in his death. We're participating in his resurrection and his victory over sin. And finally, communion is a time of anticipation. Anticipation. It's a time of looking forward. We started off with remembering, a time of commemoration, remembering all the things about Jesus, and we end with this, communion being a time of anticipation where we look forward to the end of the age. You see, it's a foretaste. It's an appetizer. We went out to dinner last night and we went to this one of these restaurants, you know, that has like the 2-for-20 meal kind of thing, and you get appetizers. So we all made sure we got different appetizers before the meal comes. That's what this is all about. You see, communion is a time of anticipating that time we spend around the banquet table of the Lord in heaven. It's a time of looking forward. It's a time of waiting until we get to take part in that marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus spoke of this anticipation as he shared the wine and the bread with them in the upper room. He said he would not drink of the fruit of the vine again until he drank it anew with them in his Father's kingdom. Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Can you imagine an eternally long banquet table that stretches from the very night Jesus first ate the bread and drank the cup with his disciples, all the way to the very end of time itself and into eternity? If you can imagine that never-ending banquet table, then you will have an image of how all Christians have been included in the Lord's Supper, how all of us who have ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior will gather together in heaven for all eternity around that incredible table of the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind that this past week for Thanksgiving, maybe some of you had to bring, I know some of you did, some of you had to bring out extra tables. Some of you had to bring out extra, and we set those extra tables and chairs up to make room for everybody that was going to be there. Can I just tell you something? That's what Jesus is doing right now. The banquet table keeps getting bigger. More chairs are brought out, making room for all of those who haven't made it there yet, but one day will, and join all the other forgiven saints around that table. Each time we participate, every time we come to his table, we do it in anticipation of the day that we sit at that table with Jesus himself, just like the 12 apostles did that night. In one of the words of one of the great songs of the church, what a day, what a day that will be. So we look forward to that day. But until that day, we have this day. And you are invited today to take part in this very intimate time of worship that we call communion. I don't have to invite you, though I do. I extend to you that invitation as your pastor. But Jesus invites each and every one of us through the sacrifice he made on the cross and through our redemption and forgiveness of sins, makes us worthy to gather around his table in this place and celebrate together. So I want to ask Jordan and Emily to come. One of you stand on each side, would you? They're both licensed ministers. They're going to help serve the communion elements. But as they do that, I want to say a prayer. And then I want to invite you to come and receive your elements and take them back to your seat with you. If you cannot make it up here, please raise your hand. We will come back and serve you. We want to make sure everyone who chooses to take part in this event has the opportunity to do so. Steve has a song ready to play that is so very fitting for what we're doing today. And as that song plays and there's a video that goes with it, I want to invite you just to get up from your seat and come forward and receive your elements while that song's playing and go back and take your seats, and then we'll all take communion together. But let's pray and we'll receive the elements. Father, today, oh God, we're so thankful for what it means to be able to come to your table, to be able to take part in the sacrament that we know as communion, the Lord's Supper. And Lord, we realize that here in this life, this is one of the ways that we celebrate and remember your life and your sacrifice. But it's also a time for us to look forward to that day when we will share this meal with you around your table. So, Father, bless us this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As the song begins to play, would you just stand, come, those of you who would, come and receive your elements and then return to your seat.
To the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who
come to the table.
Paul encouraged us, before we partake of the elements, we should examine ourselves and make sure that we're not partaking in an unworthy manner. So I would invite you just to take a moment, bow your heads in a reflective prayer. You hold in your hand a little wafer. It represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. And on that night that he met with his disciples, he blessed it, broke it, and asked them to eat in his remembrance. Would you take that as you eat and do it in remembrance of Jesus? He took the cup. So this represents my blood that will be provided as a sacrifice for sin. Every time you do this, every time you drink of the cup, do it in remembrance of me. Would you take and drink? Heavenly Father, today we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come into the very presence of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for providing us a place at your table that we can know what it is to share in your suffering, to share in your death, but to also share in resurrected life with you. Through your broken body and your shed blood, we give you praise today. And we ask you to go with us as we leave this place. Help us to live lives that reflect the love and the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ. We ask it all in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.